door is open, the welcome mat is out, and this is It's All About Relationships on Vivid Life Radio. My name is Edie Weinstein, and together we'll be exploring what relationships are really all about. Sometimes they're light and playful, sometimes messy and challenging. Our guests are transformational teachers and authors, artists and musicians in this realm that makes life so sweet. So sit back and relax and enjoy the ride.
Welcome to It's All About Relationships. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, and tonight I am particularly thrilled, tickled, delighted, you know, name any adjective you want to be speaking with you this evening, because this is the second anniversary of the show. 2.5 years ago, my fabulous producer, Shane Travis, asked me if I wanted to host a show, and I was nervous, I was scared, I was excited, I was, you know, over the top overjoyed. And now, 2 years later, I count, count this as one of the pivotal experiences of my life. And I also want to thank Rick Denzine and Deborah Lee, who created the song called Only You that we adopted for the show. And they can be found at Lyra Project, LYRAproject.com. And this show is particularly exciting for me because my guest is somebody who helped to create a movie that came out in 2004. It's called What the Bleep Do We Know? And it revolutionized the way we look at reality. So now, almost, 11 years later, it's still one of my top favorite movies because it helped me question what life, the universe, and everything is all about. Betsy Chassey is my guest, and she is the feminine energy behind the movie. She's a writer, a director, and a producer, and she's produced many award-winning documentaries. She teamed up with Tom Kenyon to create the film Song of the New Earth. She's also the author of 3 books, including the newest one called Tipping Sacred Cows. And I can assure you, as she can, that there were no real cows harmed in the making of the book. She's got 2 amazing children who I imagine are her teachers, Max and Alora. And she says they love to garden, make short films, so they're taken after their mama, and they cause as much ruckus as possible. So, Betsy, welcome to the show.
Wow, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be here, and a happy 2-year birthday.
Thank you. No, there's no cake here. I just have ginger tea. So no chocolate, unfortunately. I should have bought the chocolate. No chocolate. No. I have to do something about that. I have chocolate almond milk I can have afterwards. That would be good. Betsy, how do we think beyond the self-limiting beliefs that with which we might have been raised? Because I know the book touches on that.
Yeah, well, the book is really about that. I mean, let me start by just kind of saying that what a sacred cow is. I mean, I think most people know that, but what do I mean by that when I talk about it in the book? And essentially, a sacred cow is anything that we hold up against criticism. Don't question it. It just is. And so we have a lot of sacred cows in the world. You know, we have the Bible, we have the Constitution, and we have lots of sacred cows, you know, in religion. We have lots of sacred cows in our own personal lives, which are really beliefs that we've sort of attached or taken on that have become so ingrained in our being that we don't even question them. They just are. And oftentimes, we don't even know we have them anymore. They're so part of our makeup of how we exist in the world that we don't even know that they're there anymore. And so for me, the concept of tipping a sacred cow really came about almost 4 years ago now when, after the bleep and all this stuff, I kind of, really thought that I had it all figured out. You know, I was the bleep girl and I was married and everything was rocking and rolling. And as you're probably really well aware, when things seem like they're going really well, sometimes you need to be reminded that, you know what, you have to continue working on yourself. And so my life just totally blew up in my face. I got divorced. I went to have a lot of financial problems. And I really began to question this whole concept of spirituality. I began to question everything I thought I knew about making the bleep. And I really started with my beliefs around new thought and the new age concepts like the law of attraction and quantum physics and things like that, and then really began to look at my own internal beliefs about my self-worth and the meaning of my life and how I was existing in it, and began to tip over some really core beliefs that were really driving me in a direction that really wasn't healthy or helpful or serving my true inner self.
So when you were making the movie, was there an erroneous sense that, oh, I got it all together, all that in a bag of chips, and then the bag got empty and the chips crumbled?
Well, I think so. Not when I was making the movie, certainly, no. I was certainly, people always ask me, like, why was The Bleep so successful? And, I wish I could say that it was because of this thing. And I'd love to say that it was just magic. I think one of the things that really resonated with people was that the Bleep was a genuine quest by three people. We were on a genuine journey of discovery, and that came across in the filmmaking. And so while we were making the film, I don't think that I was questioning any of it in a sort of like cynical way. I was hungry. Before I made The Bleep, I didn't even know how to spell quantum physics. Like, I ran so far away from like religion and spirituality, it wasn't even funny. Like, I like to say I lived happily in my shoe consciousness back then, which is like, what kind of car am I driving and what kind of shoes am I wearing? Now, I will admit that I still have a thing for shoes. But really, I was just living this sort of one-dimensional life. So The Bleep really opened up, just like it did for you. And when I hear people say to me, gosh, oh my God, The Bleep really made me question, that's really what happened to me in the making of The Bleep. And then for a while, I really sort of lived that. I did the practice of it. But when you learn something or when you take on something that changes your whole way of being, you have to keep digging deeper and getting deeper into the understanding of it. So for a while I had a certain understanding of what some of the concepts we talked about in The Bleep meant. And then when I sort of plateaued and it was like, okay, you think you got it? Now let's take you farther down the rabbit hole, so to speak. And that was sort of where I went into next,
Absolutely. So how did The Bleep serve you in ways that you celebrated and that also you may have cried over, like spilled milk? What were the pluses and minuses of creating this pivotal, epic film?
I think the big plus for me was beginning to understand the concept of the I create my reality. And so that was really a big thing for me because it made me realize, and like I wrote a chapter in The Bleep book where I said, you have to take responsibility at that point for your life. You really have to take real responsibility, and you can't really blame other people. And so that's a really big, box of chocolate to eat, in the sense that when you take on full responsibility, you have to be willing to say, well, if I can create all this crappy stuff in my life, I can really create all this great stuff in my life. I think what changed for me around that concept was, after The Bleep came out, a lot of people kind of took that concept and ran with it. And what I really needed to come to terms with was the understanding that, I don't manifest Mercedes out of my butt. That's not what creating reality means. And so what I really began to learn with the next phase was that what I'm really creating isn't the wall. I'm creating my experience of the wall or the chair or whatever. I'm creating my experience of it. It is already there. The chair is there, and you're going to sit in the chair, and then you get to decide how you experience the chair. And that was a more deeper meaning for me. It was a more deeper, because what happens then is that I stopped trying to rearrange the furniture. I stopped trying to think, if I just had a new chair, I'll just create a new chair and everything will be great. And so once I realized that it wasn't really the material reality, it was my interpretation of it and my willingness to be open to the possibility of how can I experience this in a way that serves me or that makes sense to me and in a way that makes me feel good, or not just feel good in the sense of like, pleasure. That's a more deeper understanding of the concept of, say, creating a reality.
Mm-hmm. And you refer to it in the book as a cow pie epiphany. Can you share a bit about what that meant to you?
Well, I think that, we all have really big moments in our lives where you wake up one day and you have this moment of going, what the hell? Who are these people and why are they in my house? You can do one of two things. You can put your feet on the floor and go, okay, never mind, I'm just not going to deal with that. Or you can go, I'm actually going to figure this out. I need to know, what am I doing? Because, we live on this planet for such a small amount of time, right? And And at some point you get to a space and where you go, wow, do I want to just keep doing this for the rest of my life? Is this it? Is this what I'm going to do every day? Or is there something deeper? Is there something more that I need to discover and learn? And if can I do that by just keep repeating the same old thing over and over and day in and day out? And so for me, it was just really saying, okay, I'm going to pretty much, you know, throw everything away. I kept the kids and the dog and pretty much got rid of everything else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
excuse me. So, and just started really getting, I think, you know, I talk a lot about in the book, I'm sorry, I have to cough.
That's okay. Catch your breath.
I talk about in the book another big, you know, sort of sacred cow of the New Age movement, which is the law of attraction, you know, which sells a lot of books, and people really mm-hmm. love that because it's so warm and fuzzy to think, oh, I'm going to have positive affirmations. And that was a big sacred cow for me because I realized it's like, you know, I can sit here all day long and make vision boards and spew out, you know, pithy Facebook positive affirmations all day long, but if the truth is I don't actually believe them and I don't do the work around why it is that I want that, then it's not really going to matter. And so I think for me, the epiphany was that it's not just, you know, walking the walk or talking the talk. You have to dig in. You have to dig into your what you believe and why you believe it and clean it up. And when you can do that, then when you make that vision board from that space of clarity of and an understanding where that's truly my true soul's desire, then you will manifest. But I think a lot of us stop with just making the pretty, you know, vision board, and we make that vision board based on, oh, I want the Mercedes because that'll make me feel happy, or I want the baby, or I want this, or I want that. And we don't really do any of the work around it. So the epiphany was for me, oh, you actually have to do some real work.
Mm-hmm. And it's probably because it's easier. You know, most of us are afraid of taking a look at the gremlins or I mean, using the you know, the cow metaphor that, you know, we're afraid of stepping in it. But, you know, there are only so many ways in our pretty shoes that we can step around cow poop. And, you know, the idea is that cow poop can be used as fertilizer.
It's just that we're, and I think a big part of what we keep being told is just be happy
mm-hmm.
and don't focus on those negative thoughts. Stay away from those negative thoughts. Those negative thoughts are bad. And I mean, you said at the beginning of the show that, you know, my kids were my teachers, and that you're absolutely unequivocally 100% spot on. You know,
yeah,
I remember my daughter coming home, you know, and she was like 6 or 7 and just kind of experiencing girls in school, you know, how fun that can be for little ones. And she was really mad at another little girl, and she came home and she was pissed. And she was like, I wish that little girl wasn't even born. I hope, blah, blah, blah. And she was mad. And here I am like, we have to offer love. And like, I'm trying to like shove the forgiveness and like spiritual pill down her throat. And she comes around to me and she's like, you know what? I really want to be mad right now. That's what
mm-hmm.
I want to be, and I'm going to be that. I'll deal with that other crap later. But right now, this is who I am, this is what I am, and this is how I feel. And it was really profound for me. It was like, wow. Like, because so often we do not give ourselves permission to experience the emotion or to feel hurt or to feel angry because it's not spiritual. You're not enlightened if you get angry.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do is we end up shoving that so far down that we're like basically filled with cow poo. And, you know, that stuff starts to sink, and eventually you're going to explode. And so for me, it just became being willing to say, okay, I'm going to hang out with my dark side or my shadow for a while. And, you know, I am going to sit there and figure out why I keep having this negative thought instead of keep trying to push it away. I'm going to ask myself, why do you think that you're not worthy of love? Like, that's a crazy question, right? Like, why would we not, you know, instead of saying to the thought, go away, I don't believe you. Well, yeah, actually you do. So let's ask yourself why, you know?
Yeah, well, we're going to touch on that a little more after the break, which we're coming up on right now. So, Betsy, can you tell us how people can find you, how they can find out about the book, find out about all the juicy stuff that you're doing?
Sure. So they can go to www.betsychasse.net.
And it's Chasse, because you told me, I wasn't sure how to pronounce it. You said like the car. So,
yes.
And they can find out about tipping sacred cows. They can order the book. They can watch a very cute video where you're skipping across the field.
And
who was the guy in the cow suit? Was that a friend or?
my friend Jon Snow, and I actually broke my collarbone making that trailer, so I had to go all the way from my house.
So although no cows were hurt in the making of the video or the book,
I got hurt.
I'm sorry.
I'm a cow that got
hit. Oh, my goodness. So we'll catch you on the other side of the break, folks. Thank you.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What is the first step for you personally to finally make the shift you have been seeking? Find out right now by connecting with us on Facebook and on Twitter. My Vivid Life. Well, it's a state of being, complete well-being. Get there today with daily inspiration right to your inbox.
Celebrate! Are you ready to do something completely amazing for yourself? Spend a weekend with some of the world's most renowned and powerful spiritual teachers? Nourish your soul, enrich your life, honor your spirit, and celebrate you at a Celebrate Your Life conference. Attend powerful, life-changing workshops that will bring you more love, healing, and transformation than you can possibly imagine. Register now. Visit www.celebrateyourlife.org. That's www.celebrateyourlife.org.
It's all about relationships on Vivid Life Radio. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, and I'll be with you every Thursday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on www.vividlife.me. Join me and a growing gathering of friends worldwide.
Life Radio connects you with the most current, optimistic, and inspiring information on the planet. Get ready to open your mind, heal your heart, and start living your ultimate life. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for more details on our upcoming broadcast with the world's brightest minds sharing wisdom to uplift your spirit.
Welcome back to the next portion of It's All About Relationships. I'm your host, Edie Weinstein, and my guest is the irrepressible Betsy Chassie. We had we're having a good time here, and I wish the show were longer tonight because this is so much fun. There's so much to talk to you about. Before the break, we were talking about the beliefs that we have that lead us to the lives that we have now, and how do we create a new life story once we know where we stand?
So let's start by this. Like, at the back of my book, there's a game that I play. It's called My Life Sucks. And I like to have fun. And so I think it's important that, you know, first thing is that I try not to take life so seriously. We take everything so seriously. And so if I created this game as a way to figure out sort of what my beliefs were so that I can then, because, you know, we talk about wanting to create a new life, right? But if we don't uncover how we created the life that we're in, we're just going to keep recreating the same life. It's like that part that Dr. Joe says at the very beginning of the belief. We just keep recreating the same reality over and over and over again. We've just got different furniture and different shoes, but the stuff is still the same. So for this game, we're essentially, you know, and I tell people, don't write it down. You got to record yourself doing it, because when you're writing, you're editing. But when you're ranting, you're just going. And just give yourself some space to be by yourself, you know, for a good hour or 2 hours where no one's going to bother you. And just sit somewhere and start saying, my life sucks because I'm short. And I'm short because my parents, you know, are short. And my dad was fat, and so I'm fat. And, you know, you just start saying stuff. And don't judge yourself, you know, because you do that. Like, cool. You're like, oh, I'm blaming my mother. You know, blame everybody in the friggin' world, okay? For this moment while you're doing this, just blame it is everybody else's fault while your life sucks.
Yeah.
Get it out, because the thing is that we don't give ourselves permission to just say what we want to say. And these thoughts are flying around in your being, and this is why we get sick. This is why we don't feel good. This is why we're tired all the time. This is why we feel emotionally stressed, because we got all this negative energy, these thoughts just flying around our head, and we don't let them out. So let them out. once you let them out and you're done recording, you know, then either listen back to the recording and take notes or transcribe it. You are going to see exactly what your belief system is. It is right there in front of you. And you may think that you were kidding, that you were mad at your dad because you're short and fat, but you know what? Somewhere in your being, you actually believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you've got to see it. And then you can go, oh, now I see why I always buy baggy clothes. Now I see why I never want to go to the beach. Now I see why I never went and did that, go dance on the dance floor. All those things that you never do because you have a belief system around them. And so once you can see the belief system, how our brain works is we are belief attaching machines. That is how we exist in this reality, okay? We had to create a construct of space and time. This is the only dimension where space and time actually exist. It doesn't exist anywhere else but here.
Mm-hmm.
And so we basically look at the world, and what happens is you see something, and then it pops into your brain, and it travels through there, and your belief systems are all attached to it. I don't like yellow because yellow reminds me of lemons, and when I was little, I got a lemon in my eye, and now I don't want to have any lemons, so I'm never going to wear a yellow dress. You know, and so it runs through your system, and then it pops out as perception. So then you perceive, oh, I don't want that yellow house, even though that yellow house could have been the best house in the world for you. So does that make sense? Was that a little strange?
Absolutely. No, I'm feeling like we're in the movie, you know, that I can see this being a scene in the movie, that we are meaning machines. And yeah, absolutely.
And so but what you can do is you can become, like I explained this to my daughter, I said, you have to become the girl in charge. So you have all this information flying into your head, and then your computer and your brain is trying to make it make sense to you and then spew out data. But you have to be able to analyze the data and say, you know, I realized that when I was 6, I got lemon in my eye, but that doesn't mean I now have to hate everything yellow. So you have to just become your own. You have to almost like observe your thoughts and then decide, well, okay, I don't really need to hate yellow for the rest of my life, so I'm going to thank you very much. I understand where that came from. Next. And we have to become consciously aware of our thoughts and then what thoughts we're choosing, because it happens so quickly that if you don't become aware of what you're thinking, then you have no ability to go, oh, I don't really need to do that. And so if that's the part where you recreate the new reality, because what happens is we get into habits. I mean, Dr. Joe wrote a great book about this. He wrote the foreword to my book, you know, Breaking the Habit of Being You, where basically you are everything you do is habitual at this point. And you cannot create a new life until you break your habits. So that's how you break your habits. You go, oh, I don't need to hate yellow anymore. Pattern interrupt, redirect. Pattern interrupt, redirect. And you can only do that if you're consciously aware of your thoughts and what you're choosing. That's literally how you do it. And then you really get clear on what it is you really want. You know, not what is pleasurable. I mean, I'm a big Joseph Campbell fan, and he talks a lot about following your bliss. And that doesn't mean, you know, eating chocolate and wine every single night, although I did do that the other night for dinner. I had wine and chocolate. But really finding out what your soul's true desire is, and then checking in. Oh, does my hate of yellow make it so that I can't have my true soul's desire, which is this beautiful yellow house in this neighborhood where I can create art? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, you really have to get that clean with it. And it's interesting because once you start to do that, the one thing that's going to happen is your life is going to end up in more hell than you ever thought that you could imagine, because you start really changing the way you perceive everything. And so things start blowing up. And it's a great, actually, if you can kind of allow that, oh, you no longer behave that way. People get mad at you. Things change in your life because you're no longer being that person that believed, I'm not good enough for love, I'm not good enough for success, I'm not good enough for happiness, I'm not good enough for whatever. And you start being whatever it is you want to be now, and then you start to recreate your life. And you know, the thing that I tell people a lot is that this is usually not something that happens in an instant. It's a process, and you have to keep going through it. And then 6 months later, you realize, wow, I spent the whole day hating yellow again. I thought I fixed that. Okay, I got to go back and redirect. And that's the work.
And that's what I call spiritual amnesia, that we forget all this stuff. So, Betsy, as we're coming to a close, believe it or not, is there one thought, one something from the book, something from your heart that you want to share with the listeners as a way of sending them off into the rest of their evening?
Yeah, so I don't remember if it was in the break or in the show. You said something about, you know, how do you be spiritual in a chaotic world, or how
yes.
do you live a spiritual life? And so my answer to that is stop trying to live a spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is spiritual. Your whole
yep.
existence is spiritual. And so just live and be, and stop trying to, you know, we have this thing we're taught to seek, pursue happiness, find balance, and seek enlightenment. And then the biggest kahuna in the whole New Age movement is this idea that everything you're seeking is within you. So if everything I'm looking for is within me, I no longer have to seek, pursue, or find. It just is. So just allow yourself to be, and be with that, and be good with that. Listen and pay attention and make conscious choices.
Beautiful. Wow. So one more time, how can people find you?
They can go to BetsyChassie.net. My
mm-hmm.
book is available at bookstores and Amazon. I always tell people that if they have a little favorite bookstore in their town or city, an independent store, go there. If they don't have it, they can always order it, and I'm a big fan of supporting your indie bookstore.
Absolutely. And you also have a Facebook page. People can connect with
yes.
you there as well. That sounds
yes,
great. And I thank you. Thank you so much for gracing my second anniversary show. This is a dream come true. So I get to interview, you know, a kick-ass woman who, you know, made the revolution, helped to start a revolution. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Folks. Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. So folks, next week, my guest is Gabe Berman, who wrote a book called Live Like a Fruit Fly, The Secret You Already Know. So I'm going to leave you guessing what that means. Now this book is, I took it to the gym with me, so I'm almost finished reading it, and it's kind of dog-eared because I folded back pages. So next week, again, join us for Live Like a Fruit Fly, The Secret You Already Know. And again, thank you so much, Shane, for helping to create this show with me. And thank you, listeners. Thank you, friends, family, wonderful guests who've been on the show. I thank you. I bless you. I love you. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us here on It's All About Relationships on Vivid Life Radio, opening your heart and mind to the possibilities that are there for you to create a life that is filled with love. Until next week, wishing you healthy and fulfilling relationships, and sending hugs from here.
Radio connects you with the most current, optimistic, and inspiring information on the planet. Get ready to open your mind, heal your heart, and start living your ultimate life. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for more details on our upcoming broadcast with the world's brightest minds sharing wisdom to uplift your spirit.